Right now it is time for our friends from the Berkshire Edge to join us, theberkshireedge.com, where you can get news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But they're also nice enough to join us on a Wednesday morning. Good morning. Sign in, please, my friends from the Berkshire Edge, Marcy and David.
Good morning. What is this more warmer stuff? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. Maybe I was thinking of Randy Van Warmer, the musician. But once again,
that's a good comeback.
I think my mouth was quicker. My mouth. I just pulled a George Bush. My mouth was quicker than my mind. I said what was on my mind when I shouldn't have said it. But anyway.
No.
I think you were going to say more humid.
Yeah, probably.
And then you said warm, and but
what
more
heck?
Warmer. I hope it does get more warmer.
Right.
I like that.
I'm a warm guy. I will give me the heat because I hate the wintertime, so give it to me now. That's what I say. Well, anyway, I want to get to the stories that you have listed, and of course, what people don't realize when you're in broadcast media, you follow print media. And you also follow local online media, which gives you an idea of what's going on in the general area, not your own area. Mm-hmm. That's the great thing about the Berkshire Edge. If you don't live in South County, it doesn't matter because the stories are woefully connected to us. And it gives you a broader look at these issues that we're dealing with, how they're being dealt with in South County and also in New York State with other. So that's really what I find to the pitch. My pitch to the people around here who say, well, why should I listen to it? Well, because South County has a lot of things that influence what goes on here in Litchfield County. And you guys do a great job in covering it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
With that being said, I did on the day they opened up. I had to drop off somebody in Canaan. They needed a ride to Canaan. So I said, well, let me ride up Route 7 and see what the situation is like at this new marijuana shop, which is right, the one in Sheffield.
Which one?
The one in Sheffield, which is right by
the path.
The path.
Right.
And so I rode up there, and the parking lot was not full at all, but I asked if I could go on a little tour of it, and I did get a little tour of it. They've got it set up very nicely. It's good, and they do have. It's not like Theory of Wellness where there's very limited parking, and you've got other businesses right around you. They've got a pretty big parking lot and a pretty big thing set up. But I did not check out the one in Egremont. So, anyways, the Berkshires now are the pot capital of the world.
Well,
definitely.
Apparently so. we have another one proposed for Egremont.
And we have a big story about that.
Yeah, but people are not happy about that. So they had a Zoom meeting because, of course, we're all doing Zoom meetings these days. I don't know if you're doing them.
Oh, gosh.
We are.
Oh, somehow it makes it easier to cover the news, but it still takes away that thing I think that's most important when you go to any, with the arts, when it comes to news, no matter what it comes to, there's nothing that can replace being there and getting the actual emotion and feeling at the moment.
No, of course not.
Or the reactions of of people, you know, as events unfold and information is presented. It's tricky now to figure out what's actually being said, you know, because when you cover events, sometimes it's not what it's said, but it's what you see kind of around the edges of what's said. And you don't get that when you're on a Zoom meeting.
No.
But
if I can do a little plug for two organizations that I'm involved with, Berkshire Playwrights Lab tonight is having a Zoom conversation. It's actually not Zoom, it's Facebook. With a lineup of very interesting theater people, including Pulitzer Prize winner playwright Marcia Norman and award-winning actor Wendell Pierce, on the future of the theater in the face of the coronavirus and also in the questions of racial equality. And that's going to be at 6 p.m. tonight, and I think it's going to really take advantage of the Zoom, of, you know, online, because it's bringing together people from all over the country who have something very interesting to say about theater. So, and also, Close Encounters with Music is having an online music festival. You can find it at Berkshire High Peaks Festival. So forgive me, but I can't help.
No, those
are involved in these two things, and yeah. I think, you know, there are some things that are happening online that are very special.
Well, right, because in place of their book signing, the Hotchkiss Library and Sharon had a big donor pay for this whole thing, and free, you get to Zoom in and actually not only buy a book or get an autograph like you used to, but you actually can converse with the author.
Right.
And
right.
That's a different thing.
Very interesting. That's
a totally different thing. But when it comes to meetings, or like when it comes to, it's just not the same, because you can get you feel the mood of the room. And that's you're a reporter, to me, that's one of the most important things, to get the mood of the room, not only the people holding the event, but the people that are at the event. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, we're doing the best we can with the Zooms.
But also, I mean, you know, we at the Berkshire Edge are not suffering, because we're always online. Yep. We've been online since the beginning, and in fact, we are getting more readers and more, you know, and more copy than we ever did before.
Well, it's the same thing for us. We've been multi-platform, and our Facebook page has exploded, and our online on-demand page, which was already extremely well run, has doubled in size too. So there are certain benefits, but I still can't wait till we get the hell out of this.
No, I know. And, you know, now if I go downtown, like to go to the post office, which we have to do, and I run into somebody I know, I mean, it's so exciting. You know, you realize, how much we all miss seeing people.
Yeah, it's different. I want to go on to your next story, because we here for the past month, Great Falls, which is not designed, people have been coming up from Fairfield County and New York City, and they have been out in the Great Falls itself, underneath the big dam and below the big falls.
The Housatonic River?
Yeah, but it's still a dangerous area that has currents, and hundreds of people have been partying in it like it's a lake.
Well, it's being called the Niagara Falls, Connecticut.
And you've got a story about, which I talked about just yesterday when I found out about it, 1,000 people showed up at Bash Bish Falls this weekend.
We have this magnificent picture that our reporter Terry Cowgill took of from the cliff overlooking this very small watering hole, actually, it's packed.
And it's packed with people that don't understand. That's the best thing, the dangers of Great Falls, and the dangers, and there are dangers in the trails and stuff like that at Bash Bish. And also, Bash Bish is known for one other very important aspect.
What is that?
Well, there's a lot of rattlesnakes at Bash Bish.
And
you get people from the city and from the Fairfield County.
Yeah, they have to be airlifted for anti-venom. Yeah. You know, it's really the thing that's also going on, and I think Marshall commented on it. Is that people aren't using nature as nature was intended.
Yeah. They're abusing nature by plowing in like
they're
that.
Abusing it,
And so
Though we find, you know, I mean, for example, we have a directory in our new magazine section to all of the trails that are open, and there are many. And, you know, we're finding that people are using nature as it was intended. And they're, you know, because it's safe to go out on these trails, the only ones that have been closed are the ones where people have to get too close to each other.
Yes,
but otherwise, you know, nature has been really a tremendous relief.
Nature in and of itself is.
Yes,
nature when you've got 75 people.
And the fact that we're in the country, you know, we're not in the city. We're close to nature and we can get out there, but when you get crowds like this,
you have to be sympathetic.
Yeah,
to
we also
people.
Know how to observe nature and use nature. And like if we run across a bear, we know what to do. There was a picture just recently.
What do you do?
You slowly back away, just like anything else. You slowly
you
back
say,
away.
Hey, bear!
I mean, but there's pictures of people on these trails from New York City, and a cub goes up to them, and they stand there, and they let the cub come right up to them and touch them and everything like that.
Which is great, except mom somewhere.
You understand the cub, there's a mama looking at this, and you make the wrong move.
And you're,
the story on Bash Bish that you've got is terrific because, like I said, I just got the news release on it from police agencies, but your story covers it extremely well. So people around
here, there's this photograph that's really remarkable. It shows the falls, and then it shows all the rocks and around this little pool at the bottom of the falls, which is not very big, and all the rocks are just packed with people.
Well, the picture that someone took of Great Falls is probably that. It looked like Coney Island, not like Great Falls, and I bet you it looked like some swimming pool hole instead of being what it is out in nature at Bash Bish.
I know.
All right. Well, go on to us that the column by Carol Owens, The History of Pandemics in the Berkshires.
Well, yes, of course. Lest we forget. We are in an era of pandemics, you know, and she's written about pandemics that have the Berkshires and we all have suffered through in the past, and it's quite interesting to recall that this is not the first episode, you know, that we've endured of a disease like this. And in the past, you know, they've been as deadly, if not more deadly, and she also included in this this old image of a ship that it looks like the Noah's Ark actually, and it was a smallpox isolation boat where people who were ill with the disease were packed into this boat in a harbor. It's just astonishing how people dealt with diseases like this in the past.
Well, you know, if you talk to any doctor and you say, go back 25 years even, it's amazing that medicine doesn't kill more people than it helps, because medicine is a practice that obviously gets better and more precise as more things are discovered. And you look back, like you just said, to a pandemic that would say happened like 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, and you say, my God, how'd they get through it?
Well, I can remember, you know, not before there was a polio vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, in the summer, you know, being really cautious about where you went swimming, because it was said that that's at beaches and in swimming holes is where kids caught polio, and also I guess I maybe mentioned in my note to you guys, there is the pandemics like this have been a biological weapon.
Absolutely.
In fact, Lord Jeffrey Amherst, the soldier of the king, when he came to New England and to settle the this virgin territory back several hundred years ago, he used blankets. He gave blankets soaked in and infested with smallpox and gave them to the Native Americans to kill them.
And guess who
it was the first case of biological warfare on American soil. And David knows this because he's an Amherst graduate.
That's right.
And guess
well, I was more, we always used to celebrate Lord Jeffrey Amherst. And in fact, I think I made a speech at Amherst one time and said, we have to find a new mascot. This is, you know, this man is a mass murderer.
But that style, you realize that George Washington, our first president, authorized that exact use of blankets to the Indian tribes.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. The exact same thing to certain Indian tribes. There was a barter set up where they got land and we gave them supplies, and that exact same thing was used. So,
yeah, and they killed them and then grabbed the territory.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. It was absolute. Our country is a great country. Don't get me wrong, but we've got some black eyes that we have to get past with that.
Well, you know, actually, the history of Stockbridge is very similar because the Stockbridge there's the legend of the Stockbridge Indians, and they were driven out of Stockbridge and resettled in northern Wisconsin, believe it or not.
Amazing.
So there's a rock in which is inscribed the story of how they were it's over by the golf course in Stockbridge that it relates this story very briefly, carved into this rock, about how the Stockbridge Indians were driven out. They've always said that they've always threatened to come back and reclaim their territory.
Well, you never can tell with what's going on in Washington sooner or later. That there's a lot of these things that are all going to be revisited. I want to bring us up a little bit and feel a little bit better about ourselves in this pandemic. And your story on this is where I said that both areas connect. I mean, you think of Bashbish Falls, you think of all this and how it connects to Connecticut. Also, restaurants in Connecticut have the same problems. Berkshire Restaurant Tours now. There's creative ways that they have to look at their new reality for the next portion, because I think restaurateurs and their employees are the most probably affected businesses by this pandemic, and they're getting creative not only here in Northwest Connecticut but also there in South County.
Yes, they are, and they're doing takeouts, and we have a story about how various restaurants are getting creative in order to survive this period where they, you know, where assembling at a restaurant is really not healthy.
And we also have, you know, we have for the last year and a half been publishing a quarterly magazine of places to go and things to do. And because it wasn't practical to put out a print magazine, we've now created a magazine section on The Edge. And there we have an article and a link to Berkshire Grown's annual guide to where to find local food and farms. So your listeners can also find a really wonderful directory of where to buy fresh food.
Yep.
It's very complete, and this is the Bible of the farm to table movement here in the Berkshires, put out by Berkshire Grown. So, and it goes beyond the borders of Massachusetts too. So, a very valuable piece in our magazine section.
How's the restaurant nights going in Great Barrington, where they close off the street? Has that helped the restaurants there?
We don't know.
It should. It's really attractive, actually. You know, it's kind of like the city is, like the town has just been it's been turned over to people and pedestrians and the restaurants and tables rather than automobiles. So it's kind of a moment in going way back in time.
But, you know, Great Barrington did something similar a couple of years ago when the downtown, you know, when Route 7, which is our main street, was being ripped up in the middle of the summer. The Chamber of Commerce organized a white dinner where everyone was in white and the food was white, and it was right down the middle of Main Street. They had a long table. Everybody was just dressed in white. The local restaurants served meals, and it was a great community event. So this should be very interesting to have people come out and sit, you know, all together on one street being served by different restaurants. It's a great idea. I mean, I don't think we know how many people are showing up, but I'm sure that it's going to be a big success.
All right. Well,
I mean, you know, they've created pizza gardens. That's what Mark Firth at the Prairie Whale has done. The Old Inn on the Green has set up a great big tent, with 1,200 square feet in it, there's a tasting menu throughout the summer at Blantyre. And so it's really
the Egremont Barn in South Egremont not only has meals but music.
Well, they go before the town tonight, as a matter of fact, to see if they can get that outdoor music permit passed. So I know 300 people have signed that petition, by the way. So and there are people against it who live around it who said it's going to be too noisy.
Oh,
so.
Well,
no.
there were people against it when it first opened too, when the barn first.
It's
opened.
Summer.
All right. Well, we only have about a minute left. So, which is the last story you want to talk about here?
I think the drive-in movies is everybody.
Oh yeah, we should mention that. That is hilarious.
We have now two options.
Yes, for drive-in movies. Who would have thought?
The Mahaley is doing drive-in movies on weekends at Simon's Rock, in the parking lot. They've put up a screen, and you park in the parking lot. You buy your ticket ahead of time at the Mahaley. And the Berkshire International Film Festival is collaborating with Shakespeare and Company.
In Lenox.
In Lenox, and showing movies there.
It's a way to cooperate. It's a way that you can cooperate and get some business done, and everybody benefits from it. Well, we are out of time, but once again, this just shows you the amount of stories that you'll find at the BerkshireEdge.com.
Tune in to Berkshire Playwrights Lab tonight at 6 o'clock for this really interesting conversation about the theater.
And you've got a website for that, right, where people can get all the information?
Berkshire Playwrights Lab. Go to the Berkshire Playwrights Lab website. It's there.
All right, guys. Have a good week. Stay safe, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, you guys too. Right. Okay.
Thanks.
Take care.
Yeah. Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on Robin Hood Radio. BerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them.